There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the number two show. I am your host, Rafe Williams, coming at you live from my Koala Care diaper changing station desk, live from Hubbard Studios in STL Mo. And I am ready to have a good time and have fun and talk with you guys live today. This episode of the number two show is about relationships. We're just going to talk, chop it up, shoot the bull. All of you poo-poo heads, all of you Rafe heads, all of you number two-a-thons. Today's the day. Spring is in the air. Spring has sprung, and maybe you're feeling a little sprung for somebody, you know? Maybe it's a crush. Maybe you're doubling down on a relationship you're already in. Maybe you're ready to pull the trigger and get out, and you don't quite know how to do it. That can be a tricky situation. But whatever your relationship issue is, it doesn't even have to be an issue. You can just call and talk about relationships in general. Maybe you're having a hard time finding one. Maybe whether you're having a hard time finding one, getting in one, getting out of one, maybe you have no use for one. Maybe you're asexual. Call, let's talk about that. I'm very interested in that. Maybe you're ready to open things up, huh? That would be a good conversation to have. Maybe you got some kind of weird kink that you're having a hard, not a weird kink, I don't want to kink shame on here, just a kink, that you're having a hard time finding a good kink match, you know? Whatever it is, I'm open to it. Let's talk about it. I got all kinds of stuff I want to talk about today on the number two show. So call in at 818-532-1420. That's 818-532-1420. Our operators are standing by to help you. And if you act now, that's not all. I will actually give you my iPhone Pro 11 Max right here. You see this? Yeah, with the suction cup, this case no longer charges my phone. It's a charging case it's just for show at this point. And I'm willing to, we're going to raffle that off at the end of the episode. So that's exciting, okay? You're going to want to tune in just for that. Again, it's 818-532-1420. You can call in and leave me a message. You can also go through the Point app. Go to the text box, hit number two show, and you can leave me a message on there via the written word, or the typed word, I should say. But whatever it is, I want to talk to you. Worst case scenario, drop a question in the chat on YouTube where you're watching this live. If I have to tell you where to look for that, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Things are not going well for you. So drop something in the chat if you want to talk to me. I'll open that up right now. And we'll get started because I want to start the show by talking about this. I was looking at an article. Since relationships are the topic we are going to be discussing today, let's see what's we got. Happy turd day to all. Yes, it's a turd day miracle. All right. Here we go. I opened up this article today. Let's see if we can pull it up. It's about Gen Zers. This is really interesting to me because we're going to be talking about relationships. It says broke Gen Zers are skipping first dates and meeting each other virtually instead. And something I found really interesting about this was it was kind of a pandemic era trend that is now kind of gone retro. It's coming back because now we got this situation where dates are so expensive that Gen Z specifically, because of increased cost of living, would rather just do a Zoom date. They want to hang out virtually. And according to the dating app Wingman, 65% of users age 18 to 27 choose a video call for a first date instead of meeting up, which is kind of wild to me because it's hard to go to third base on a Zoom call. You know, I don't really know exactly how you're supposed to go about that, but that's interesting to me. I don't really know what's going on with that. I mean, I understand. I don't like being on Zoom for any reason. I had to do Zoom shows. I couldn't imagine being a stand-up comedian and deciding that I'm just going to go back to doing Zoom shows. Like, I'd have to be really hard up and desperate. And I guess maybe part of me wonders if it's all just that Gen Z doesn't have money. Part of me wonders if Gen Z's just socially awkward at this point. And I'm not hating on you, Gen Z. I understand why you would be. We live in a world that's completely digital. We got our heads in our phones. I mean, on our sister show, the Rizzuto show today, we talked about if you could have any gadget in your hand, what would you pick? And the options were Wolverine claws, super grip, a smartphone, a screwdriver, or something else shitty that I don't remember. But the number two answer was smartphone, and that made me sad. That's how dependent we are on these devices. And sometimes I wonder if that's what's going on with Gen Z, if it's just so much easier on their anxiety, it's so much easier on their social skills to just be able to pop onto a Zoom call. Everything's self-contained. There's not as much stimulus in the room. And you can drop off. You can literally bail anytime you want. All you got to do is just hit a red button and you're gone. No awkward goodbyes. No telling somebody, hey, this isn't working out. That's an interesting thing. Now, it says in the article, the Gen Z's jaded by dating apps, which I've never been on the apps. I could see why people would be jaded by it. It kind of seems like the apps, Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, Grindr, you name it, is all kind of geared around hookup culture. And if you're looking for something long-lasting in a relationship, that may not be the best mode of transportation to meet somebody. But I don't know that we've created a conducive environment to meet in person, other than the old school way, like going down to the VFW and trying to bang the bartender like our grandpa did. You know, find the girl behind the bar that seems like she's fun. She's had a rough life. She's smoking cigarettes out in the alley by the dumpster. But she's still got a little bit of her looks left in her. And you're just like, you know what? Maybe me and Barb, maybe we can get something going. I don't know if we have spaces like that anymore for the young kids, you know? They just don't have anywhere to go where they can just walk across the bar up to a total stranger and be like, hey, can I buy you a drink? Or if you don't drink, which a lot of Gen Zers don't, can I buy you a sarsaparilla? I don't know what the fuck you guys are drinking these days, but it just seems like we don't have a space for people to hang out and learn to talk in person. Maybe somebody should start that, like a space where you can't have your cell phones. But it doesn't seem like Zoom is a good solution to that. It's still just online dating. It's just done in a different form. The other part of this article says traditional dating is hard for some Gen Zers. Gauge compatibility and establish rapport in a way that's not energetically draining. Well, I don't know. Buck up is what I say. Dating is energetically draining. You're literally giving your energy to somebody. That's what dating is. That's what a relationship is. It is an exchange of energy. You just got to find somebody that's a good energy match, somebody whose energy feeds off of your energy. And you feel like they're the only person in the room. And that's the best feeling in the world, is when you meet somebody that you enjoy their company so much that even if you're an extrovert who's used to getting attention from a whole bunch of people, that the only person's attention you want is theirs. If when you get that feeling and sparks are flying and you just want to hang out with that person, you're on to something. And I don't know if you're going to get that in a Zoom call. I really don't, because I personally believe that there's something to be said for like the energy of a live exchange, right? It's just like doing comedy over Zoom. There's a disconnect there. When I do comedy live, I can hear the laughter. I can feel the energy in the room. I can feel the way the audience is responding to me, not people raising their hand or hitting a clap button. If you want to go, you know, if you want to kiss somebody over Zoom, what are you going to do? You going to kiss your fucking camera? Hell no. You going to get out some kind of surrogate kiss bot and be like, hey, how does this feel? Put on your virtual goggles and let's fuck. No! You gotta fuck for real. Like the olden days, like the pilgrims. All right, 818-532-1420. That's my assessment of this Gen Z article. Let's see. I think I got a caller. Ooh, I can't wait. Let's pop on and see who's calling me. Hello, you're live with the number two show. Who the hell are you? What the hell do you want?
Hey, my name is Jace. I wanted to talk a little bit about my relationship. I'm in a new one. Can we do that?
Yeah, for sure.
To your topic.
Oh, that sounds great, Jace. Okay. What's up, buddy? Give me the dirt.
Lot going on. I don't want to keep you. All right, I don't want to keep you all day, but I got a lot to get on my chest. So, I was in a really bad relationship a few years back, and it kind of threw me off of dating for a long time. Got back out there on the dating apps and stuff, which I had no luck. And as far as going out in person, I'm in a small town. It's hard to, you know, meet new people. I know everybody, and I got a bit of a reputation that I'm working on. So I met this girl, not on the apps, just on Facebook. I saw, you know, a girl reach out about how she was single and how hard it was. So I shot her a message and worked out pretty good. We started off pretty strong, but maybe perhaps a bit too strong, depending on who you ask. I like her a lot. I'm not crazy for her yet, but it's new. It's 2 months in. But I am starting to see some of the traits of my old relationship. I actually wrote some stuff down because I'm not the best at communicating on the spot.
Well, I appreciate that. What are the, you said you met this person on Facebook?
Yeah, she's from around my area. She's been in my town the past few years.
How big's your town, man?
I'm sorry. It's, Redbud. I think I met you at Vices. I know I met you at Vices.
Okay, so Redbud area, so a few thousand people. And how old are you?
I'm 32.
That's about, all right. You're right in the middle. You're just on the cusp. You're on the cusp of probably millennial Gen Z, I'd say. All right, what were some of the tropes that you feel, are you saying bad tropes, like stuff from your old relationship that had you all twisted up that you're seeing some of the same characteristics in her?
Yes, and I don't know if it's brought on by some of the trauma that I've dealt with, because she was, the ex was truly toxic, manipulative, possessive, jealous, abusive, both mentally, and it got physical on a couple occasions. And this new relationship is much better than that, but I'm seeing some of that manipulative behavior come out, definitely a bit possessive. I'm there 4 days a week, four nights a week, and I still kind of get lightly guilt tripped whenever I don't stay there. And I got my brother and his girlfriend I live with that are missing me. My animal, my cat's here, and I bring him over there every once in a while, but I feel like I'm neglecting him and stuff. And he was my world for a while. So, and as far as like, there's no like abuse or anything. She's super caring and generous, but it's just, I got to be with her, you know? And she tries to ease my mind about things like, oh, I don't know. I'm not your ex and I don't like to be compared to it and shit. I'm like, I'm not trying to compare.
Sure.
But it's hard whenever I've dealt with what I dealt with, and she's got some trauma of her own. So I don't want to fault her for it. But I think the main thing is what you mentioned earlier is I'm not crazy for you. Whenever we're in the room to get with other people, she's not the only person in the room. And I wish she was. I think she's great, but maybe not for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's break that down in the order and when she brought these problems up. I think that jealousy is an ugly, I've seen it. I think there's a line. Personally, for me, and everybody has their druthers, I don't mind when somebody gets a little fired up for me. Like, I don't mind. Just a smidge of jealousy is kind of hot to me. I want somebody that's willing to take her earrings off and swing on a bitch, you know, in the bar, but won't do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, she wants to do it, but she won't go full-blown fucking Conor McGregor / full-on Terminator and try to fight. I want her to take her earrings off and, like, break a bottle and stab a lady in the neck, but I want her to think about it. I do want her to think about it. I want her to have that kind of, I want her to have that kind of fire for me, you know? But that's not for everybody.
I would kill for the fire, but she just kind of pulls me aside and says, well, who's that girl and why did you talk to her? And I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's a small town. I've known her for 25 years.
Yeah, it's not good. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want the kind of, you don't want the green monster hanging over you. And I will say that everybody drags, here's the deal, man. I always say that every girl I've dated has gotten a slightly improved version of me thanks to the girl before them or the person before them. You know, because you learn from past relationships. The hard part is you got to learn in a positive way. You know, you can't just throw all your trauma in a bag and drag it into your next relationship and then take it out on the other person. And I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm not saying she's doing that. But if that's what's happening, you know, you can't just stare at your wounds and expect them to heal. You gotta put a little salve on them, baby. You gotta put a bandage on them bad boys. And, you know, as far as the chemistry goes, I don't know what to tell you about that, man. I've heard both ways. Sometimes it can work. Sometimes love can grow out of admiration. And sometimes, you know, you get struck by lightning. And I wish that everybody at least once could get struck by lightning, because that's a good feeling. But, you know, that's not necessarily a reason to give up on it. I would say it's still early. How long have you been dating?
It's been 2 months yesterday, but I do have a big red flag I'd like to mention before I lose you.
Oh, okay.
We just the other day.
Did you have a penis or something?
Easter Sunday. Not quite. Not that I've found.
All right, we'll see. We start there. It doesn't seem like such a big red flag. All right, go ahead.
Everything in that department is A-okay.
All right.
We got in a big argument Saturday night about, I got, you know, kind of persuaded by my family to go to church with them for Easter, and I'm not a big church guy or anything, but I went for mom, and she kind of was trying to convince me not to go, and, you know, do you have clothes? Are you going to be able to wake up in time? That kind of thing. I'm like, well, do you just not want me to go? It turned into an argument, and it got a little heated because alcohol was involved. And she ended up taking my phone as I was texting my brother to pick me up, and wouldn't give it back, wouldn't let me leave. Had my cat over there, so I wasn't just going to hop her balcony and, like, run for it like I kind of felt like doing.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, we kind of cooled off and talked things out. But I don't know. To me, that's like a line that I'm not willing to let be crossed again.
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I don't know if that's reading in too much or if that's just a huge get the fuck out.
I don't know, man. That's a tough one. That's pretty early on. I think you're still early enough in the relationship. You could change things. Here's my opinion on relationships. I think you teach the person how to treat you in the first 6 months. And after that,
okay,
it's hard to make them, it's hard to change. I think you can get temporary change out of people, but it's usually they'll fall back in. I think the first 6 months of a relationship is conditioning in a way, not to make it clinical, but I think you can, you're basically telling a person like, yo, these are my boundaries. This is how I want to be treated. So if you're a pushover or you accept abuse or you accept somebody going through your phone or you accept these things early on, those things will continue. But you still got 4 months before those things are set in stone. So you have more time left than you have ticked off the clock. So I think if you sit down and you talk to this person, you're like, yo, these are my hard boundaries. This is the type of person I am. These are just hard conversations that need to be had early on in the relationship about, because I know, you know, you're trying to, when you first start dating somebody, you're trying to present what I call the ideal you. It's not necessarily the real you.
Yeah.
So I say just man. Get down to the real you faster and let her know what your deal is. And at least then if it's a non-plus or it's a deal breaker, hey, at least you got out and you didn't waste time. But I will say, you know, as far as going through the phone thing goes, that is a big red flag for me. I've never gone through any of my partner's phones. I had a girl that would go through mine that would like secretly – I had a girl I dated one time that I would get like notifications that someone tried to guess my password to my email, and it would come it would tell me that the source was like the house I was in, and then I would confront her about it, and I'd be like, "Hey, did you try to get in my Gmail?" And she would lie and be like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I'm like, "Well, I can show you on my Gmail that one of the two people in this house on this Wi-Fi on this server tried to guess my password, and I was sleeping. So I'm not saying it was you.
Yeah, a bit undeniable.
So, you know, if you get with somebody like that, that starts to feel really weird and manipulative. But I will say, try not to project your past relationship onto her, you know.
Yeah, that's not fair to do.
And just, like, sit her down and be like, yo, some things are good. Some things aren't great. Can we figure this out? And if you can't, man, you know, cut ties. Have the hard conversation and cut ties and – move on before she cooks a rabbit on your stove.
Right.
Fair enough.
I'm kind of hoping she doesn't listen to this. My decision might be made for me.
Well, here. Again, what's your first and last name? And where? I'm just kidding. Don't say that.
Deep Throat.
Comments are weighing in. Let's see what some of the comments are saying here. Let's see what the...
Oh, man.
Someone said they still smoke at their VFW. That's helpful.
yeah.
Let's see. Nope, say bye-bye only 2 months in. Brittany. I hope it's not Brittany, is it? She just made the decision for you. I'm with you, Brittany. Bye-bye. These are women, by the way, weighing in. Deborah and Brittany, or at least I assume that they're women, and they're saying, nip it in the bud. Penny McCrary, we got three women telling you nip it in the bud. I don't know, man.
Okay. You got
some ladies saying, ladies are saying red flags are flying, so... But they might be single ladies who are just trying to get to you, man. You might be in demand.
Oh, man.
They might be jelly.
I could be, man. It's another thing down here.
Well, I don't know, man. Check out the comments. Maybe you can get a good chat going with some of the ladies in there and get some other opinions besides mine. But I would say, you don't have to ditch it right away. But if stuff like that's happening, she's taking your phone and kind of holding you hostage, you might well get the fuck out. We'll see. All right, brother. I'm going to drop you, man. It was good talking to you.
Appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Drop call. Ooh, I can ban callers on here. I just found out. I'm like a little king. I'm like a little king in here. All right, I got another caller. Let's see who's on the number two show with Rafe Williams. How can I help you?
Good morning, Rafe. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, good morning, person who hasn't identified yourself. Who are you?
Oh, Danny.
You don't have to say if you don't want to. All right, Danny, what's up?
Okay. Was today the topic like interesting relationships?
Today's topic is anything relationship related. That's correct.
Okay. Well, I wasn't personally involved in this one, but
ooh, hot gas
on it.
Okay. What's up?
I grew up in a rural community. Closest town had a couple hundred people in it. We grew up out in the sticks, and take this scenario because it's true. There is a married couple, lives in town. They've got like an 8-year-old son.
Okay.
For some reason, this was before my time, the mother passed away. So it left a father and an 8-year-old son. It was kind of a Brady Bunch scenario. He married another lady and she had a 7-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
So basically these kids grew up in the same household, stepbrothers, stepsisters.
Mm-hmm.
They got married.
Not quite a bunch, but yeah, a Brady duo.
Yeah, now it's that just. I mean, even though they're not blood related, but
wait, were you saying they hooked up?
I found the whole thing kind of strange. Oh, they got married.
Oh, well, mazel.
And then that's got to make you wonder: as you're an adolescent in your teen years, was he knocking the bottom of it out when they were like in junior high school?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Knocking the bottom out of it. I don't know. I've seen a lot of stuff on Pornhub about this. It's got to come from somewhere, you know? Good question, man. I'm going to drop you because I want to examine this. All right. It was good talking to you, Danny.
Great. Take care, Rick.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, a little small-town goss coming through on the number two show. Apparently, two step-siblings brought together by cruel fate ended up hooking up, falling in love. Very Game of Thrones Lannister style. Not blood-related. It is kind of weird, I will say that. But let's try to look at the positive side. I think it's easy to cast stones at these two young lovers in a small town. The dating pool's shallow, right? Probably not a lot going on. Maybe they couldn't find anybody. maybe they hit it off. I don't know how old they were when they started, when they moved in together either. Like, did they grow up together as kids? He said 8-year-old when her mom died. So I'm guessing they were at least somewhere around 9 or 10 or older when they ended up being in the same household. Now, here's the upside. You don't have to meet the in-laws. Am I right? Come on. That's pretty cool. I mean, you don't have to impress anybody. You already know your in-laws, right? Thanksgiving, boom. You don't have to ever fight about where you're going for Thanksgiving because you're staying right the fuck where you grew up. You're going to that Thanksgiving because that's the only one you got to worry about. Getting approval from parents, that should be easy. You got to go ask your old man. You got to ask your own dad for your sister's hand. That's a locked and loaded. I mean, your own dad's not going to tell you no, so that's easy. So there's a lot of benefits, in my opinion, you know, to this. You're not blood related, so you don't have to worry about the kid having like a third eye or like an ear growing out of its ass or anything like that for the most part. And the only thing that would be tough is if it doesn't work out. Then you get divorced, but you still got it. You're still going to see him. You know what I mean? Then Thanksgiving gets weird. You got to, because you got to come back and be like, "Hey, my ex is going to be at Thanksgiving dinner," and your new gal's going to be like, "Why?" And you're like, "Because she's also my sister." So there is that. It's a high risk, high reward situation, is what I'm saying here, people. But you know what? Love is love, I guess. In small towns, dating pools are shallow. And, you know, as long as the family doesn't have a problem with it, I would imagine there's a social stigma that goes around it that's tough. But you know what? 50% of marriages end in divorce, even if you don't know the person. So marry your sister. Marry your brother. As long as they're not blood related. You never know. Keep it in the family. That's nice. Who knew Pornhub had it right this whole time? That's wild. Do we have any more callers? Any emails, chats? All right. Well, then maybe, just maybe, let's see what's in the chat here. Nothing in the chat, so I tell you what, I'm going to, it is also 11:30. I've already been on for a half hour, and I do have an email that came in that I want to get to before I wrap up the show. All right. I appreciate everybody that called in. I appreciate people that left messages or send emails. I can't get to all of them all the time, but I do appreciate it. I appreciate you interacting with me on the chat and all that. And we had a really thoughtful email. I'm going to read it to you. I printed it out like a true old person. I have a printed email here to read to you. Dear Number Two Show, this is from SR. I'm not going to say your name, Stoney. Question. This is a very thoughtful email, and I really appreciate stuff like this, and I wish more people would do it because it makes doing the show much easier when I have stuff in advance and I don't just have somebody calling me talking trash for a half an hour. All right. Question. How do I help my partner understand that therapy is helpful and not a waste of money? I've consulted with her primary care physician and have set up therapy appointments, but she finds excuses not to follow through. I love this person, but I'm at a point where I'm asking myself if I want this forever. I'm on my third year of therapy trying to break the toxicity my family of generational trauma raised me on. She was raised with much more trauma, and I just want what's best for her. But how do we collectively convince her that this will help her off the emotional roller coaster we are riding every day? P.S. Love you and everything you're doing. Keep it up. I love you too, Stoney. A lot of questions in here, and they're good ones. Everyone should go to therapy. I want to lead with that. I think there's a stigma around therapy, especially in the Midwest. Like, guys are doing better than we used to. I think we're not afraid to go. I've actually been looking for a therapist for me recently. Cause I was like, I think I need to start going. I think couples therapy is good too. If you can afford it and you can find somebody that you trust, sometimes it's good to have a third party to bounce things off of. It's definitely not a waste of money. I don't know how you convince someone of that. The problem with any kind of help, self-help, whether it's addiction or therapy or getting out of a relationship that's bad or toxic, you can't want it for somebody else. No matter how much you want it for somebody else, if they don't want it for themselves, you're pretty much fucked, because they're not going to do it just because you wish it for them. Now, you can love them. You can give them advice. You can try to act as a guiding hand, but judging from your email, now granted, I don't have you on the horn to get clarification on a lot of this stuff, but it says you've consulted with her primary care physician and that you've set up therapy appointments and that she has not followed through. A couple of red flags in there. If you're setting up the therapy and you're talking to their primary care physician, you're not getting a lot of buy-in from the other person, it sounds like to me. So it seems like you're doing all the legwork, and relationships got to be, they don't have to be 50-50. Every day can be different. I had a dear friend told me, like, some days, just, you know, check in with your partner, tell them where you're at. It's like, today I'm at 30%, and I need you to be at 70. There's always got to be 100%. And sometimes it's okay for one person from day to day to bear the greater percentage of where we're at to get to 100. Maybe you're 20 one day and you need 80 from them, and on the next day they're at 60 and you give them 40, and then it flips the next day and you're at 70, they're at 30. But as long as you guys can find a way to get to 100, you're good, as long as it's not you doing 100 all the time, or it's not always 90-10, because then it starts to become a burden to the other person. I get the trauma thing. I think I definitely get generational trauma and family trauma. I grew up in, you know, I'm a child of divorce, and I grew up in a home where I was scared to when my dad got off work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There was definitely a tension in the house, and I understand what that's all about. And I love that you want what's best for her and that you cared enough to send this email, and that is super dope. But you say collectively convince her that this will help her off an emotional roller coaster we are riding. And by collectively, do you mean me and you? Or does she have other people in her life? I'm hoping that you have enlisted some of her own family and that other people are perhaps are invested in this. But I don't know if you can do it for her. There's going to have to be a point where whoever this person is wants to get off that emotional roller coaster themselves. Otherwise, you may just be beating your head against the wall. Now, again, I'm not a physician and or qualified in any way to be giving you any kind of advice. But I will tell you that I think and believe that even through my own sobriety, and I know it's different, but you got to want something for yourself. So you have to find ways to lead the horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And I know that that's a really tough, shitty, worn out analogy, but it is kind of what it is, man. Like, you have to, you got to find a way to get them to recognize the patterns that are not healthy and want to break those patterns for themselves. And if you can't get them there and it's not good for you, I don't know how long you've been in this relationship, but there might be a point where you're not doing them any favors by staying in it. If it's toxic for you and it seems like you're putting in all the effort, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody is leave them to sort things out on their own. And I know that that's easy for me to say. When you love somebody, it's hard to leave, but that's part of the relationships. Part of being in a relationship is they don't all last. Sometimes you got to know when to get out and when to leave. And sometimes the best thing you can do, I had plenty of women that I am grateful that had the courage to leave me when I couldn't get my shit together. Because I think, you know, at the time I was like, this is fucking bullshit, man. How could you ever leave me? I treated you good. But the truth is, I wasn't the man I needed to be. I wasn't the man they needed me to be. I wasn't even headed in that direction. And at some point, the best thing they could do for me was to leave me to my own devices and let me sit with that and let me work shit out on my own and become a better version of me for the next person. And sometimes, no, that's not easy to hear, but that might be your role in this person's life. But anyway, that's about all I got on that. This was a really good good question. Lead by example, keep going to therapy, maybe get into couples therapy. Maybe it's a little easier if you ease them in that way. But I do think personal one-on-one therapy is always the best choice. And with that being said, I don't think I have any new callers. Let me make sure before I And cool. Well, let's get to the wrap up, baby. That's right. Wrap your hand and wipe your ass. We've come to another dramatic conclusion of the number two show. Today we talked relationships. Got a couple pretty good phone calls. I wasn't expecting people to call in and hit me with such hard-hitting data, but it was nice. If you're in a relationship, it's spring. You know what? Take a risk. Ask them out. Get on a Zoom call like a Gen Zer and have yourself a little date. Or go out to the bar the old... I challenge everyone. Sometime in April, go out the old-fashioned way. Go out, keep your phone in your pocket. Find somebody across the room, somebody leaning on the bar. You like their laugh. You like their smile. Maybe there's a little twinkle in their eye. Maybe you just like the way their butt looks in them jeans. Whatever it is, have the courage to walk up to them like a pilgrim, like your forefathers or foremothers. That's Sadie Hawkins' shit. Walk up to them, say, hey, I would never forgive myself if I didn't come over here and ask you for your phone number, or I didn't come over here and ask you for a drink. Can we hang out? And then, yes, will they probably mace you? 100%. They probably will. There's a good chance. The society we live in today, if you approach a stranger, you are probably getting maced at least 80% of the time. But there's a 20% chance that that person might not mace you. That person might like you. And it could be the start of a beautiful relationship. So I say, what's a little mace in your eye compared to a lifetime of love? And to me, those fires aren't even close to the same. So I say take the risk, maybe get bear maced, I don't know. But go up to a human being that you see. Make sure it's in a public setting, by the way, fellas. Don't approach a girl like it in line at the bank, okay? Don't make somebody feel very uncomfortable because you've approached them in a private situation. Women have enough to deal with without us guys fumbling around and making them feel unsafe. But if it's a public setting, there's a lot of people around, it's a bar, people are having drinks, people are partying, doesn't have to be a bar. I don't drink. Just make sure that maybe it's a public library. I don't know. Maybe it's ask somebody out at AA. As long as it's been a year, you know the rules. But whatever it is, ask a human being out on a date. Don't Zoom call it, and you never know. Spring has sprung. Love is in the air. Mercury's in retrograde, I heard today. Aries and Venus and Mars are all lined up, I think. I don't know. Look that up. I'm not an astrologist, but I do know that love can happen for everybody. So hang in there. Until next time, I'm Rafe Williams. This has been the number two show. I love you. And don't forget to wipe.